newspaper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the mills stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study tonight. We're going to close in on Daniel tonight. And we'll probably hit it tomorrow night too. And maybe Friday. There's a lot about Daniel. There's a lot of stuff in there. But Daniel is about future, not history of the Bible. Daniel is coming around. And that last kingdom of iron and clay, image of the beast, is upon us. Family, welcome to Watch for Jesus Bible study tonight. And we're going to talk about Daniel, part 3. And it is prophecy, not historical records. 2,500 years in the future, Daniel prophesies with the help of God. 2,500 years. He'd been exactly right on. It shows how God uses even an unrighteous man. God uses all. He can do whatever he wants to do. Right now, we're just kind of riding, you know, watching these things happen around us that we can explain and so forth. But at some point in time, Scripture is going to jump out at people, and they're going to realize all along, the truth has been within their grasp through the King James Bible. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to get into a little story to tell you. And then we'll get into Daniel 2. I'll do a little refresher for those, we got quite a few tonight, a refresher on what we covered last night and not before. So, family, here we go. Let's get moving. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we lift up this prayer study, this Bible study, in the book of Daniel to you tonight. Lord, do guide us along tonight with your wisdom, Father, to guide us through that which we need to hear. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you on the cross. Our sins before us, Lord, to put them behind us. Lord, we call upon you tonight. Call for answer of prayers for our loved ones, our families, and Father, for I call upon you for me, for patience. And Father, to you hear the prayers of all others that are out there, Lord. Praying for family members and friends for healing and protection. We know now that today's the events are taking place. Father, we see them escalating every day in the news. Father, we know that one day is going to break. Father, we know you're there when this time comes. And you write the words on our hearts. Father, we look forward to that day when Jesus Christ will come and take his rightful heir to the throne in that day. But Father, we know those other days before the days of judgment are to come. Father, we call upon you to lead us in these studies, giving us wisdom, discernment to read your word. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, you wonder, what would you be doing if you wasn't doing Bible study or whatever else? What would you be doing? Watching TV, going out, doing something else, playing solitaire on the computer, what? What happens when this book of Daniel, book of the Revelation, really becomes real? Right now it's not real to people. It's Bible study. Some people do it because they think they should, that God, see God, I'm doing Bible study, here I am. Watch, you got me off there, put my name on there. What more do you want out of me? A Bible study. Go to church on Sunday, what more do you want? Well, it don't work that way. Everything going on in our lives today, everything, I mean, now that my regular listener, you kind of got an idea, you probably did before you even listened to me, but those that don't, haven't or whatever, you got an idea. When I try to talk to folks that don't know, a lot of you out there already know anyway, that everything in our lives revolves around this agenda, this conspiracy. Everything. I mean, there's not one thing that don't. Nothing. And most of it really is to keep us off track, distracted, ran another direction to keep us away from the Word. Everything. I mean, literally, you can't name one thing. I mean, really even think about it. Soap operas, TV, music. The music is convoluted with the rock and roll. I can't believe I'm saying this. But It just is. That's what it's for. I sound like one of the old fogies in the 1960s, don't I?
Oh, you get that rock and roll stuff there. You're so evil.
You know, Grandma, go away. This is good stuff, rock and roll. It's a hard day's night, you know. Gee, I think I'm going to grow my hair long, look like a Beatle. Or like Elvis Presley, and throw the slick back and wiggle my knees a little bit or something. Play a stupid guitar that I bought at the Five and Dime store. Music is good and soothing, granted. But music is what Satan uses. I'm sorry, but it does. The rock and roll, the heavy metal, it's got something for everybody. All music? No, absolutely not. So Satan has brought his brand and stuck it in the middle and on the outside and thereabouts to hook you in. Country music. See, music opens up both sides of the brain. And then in comes the words. You're going with a music beat. Yeah, all right. But the words are coming in, conditioning your subconscious. It just is. That's the way it works. Well, the point. Everything's to keep you dumbed down, tied up, distracted, busy, so you can't look at the events that occur. You give God 1 week out of the month, a week, if that. And every time is taken up in all these other areas. All of us, definitely me. I realize that every time I do a Bible study or broadcast, I keep seeing more and more of this conspiracy. I've been doing it now 6 years, and I learn something new all the time. There's always something different. A guy said one day, I've nicknamed our car No Grace. Car was named No Grace because Sunday mornings are the worst. He loads the car with all the stuff and they need for church and get yourselves in the seat, close the door. Starts backing out of the garage and while they're still getting settled, the seatbelt warning starts buzzing. Buzz, 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 buzz. You know how it goes. The person driving says, talking to the seatbelt, all I need is just another minute, please. The irritating buzz, 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 buzz. And the answer is no, because it continues buzzing until you buckled in. It just won't stop like an alarm clock. Sometimes don't you feel like smashing it? Well, it's not the alarm clock's fault. Or the buzzer on your seatbelt. Finally quits dinging or buzzing when you hook up your seatbelt. But that minor annoyance is a good reminder of what life would be like if there was no grace in this world. Each of us would immediately be called to account for every indiscretion. You see, for the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. His glory is to overlook a transgression. So, what we're talking about here is that a man of good sense, and God would throw this before my face, of course. Well, wouldn't you know it? A man of good sense knows how to control his temper. He can graciously overlook it when somebody wrongs him, or the big-heartedness which David frequently displayed towards Saul illustrates that proverb very well. Slow to anger. Control the temper. You know, if each of us were immediately be called to account for every indiscretion, there'd be no time for repentance or change of behavior, and then would be no forgiveness, no mercy, no hope. Living in a world, in this kind of world, feels like falling into a no-grace sinkhole. So, when you have minor flaws and they're blown up into major indiscretions, or people refuse to overlook the faults and offenses of others, we kind of end up burdened by the weight of guilt that we're never meant to carry. Forgive others is a You know, God, in His grace, He sent Jesus to carry the burden for us, though. Those who receive God's gift of grace, they have the privilege of offering it to others on Christ's behalf. 1 Peter 4:8. In 1 Peter... Four, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Father God, the culture around us can seem so harsh and hard on people when they fall and fail. Help us to show grace and patience, and because you have been gracious to me and forgiven my sin, then we must do others the same way. And He'll give you the opportunity, by the way. He'll put it before your face, too. Oh, I love the Lord. I love to give. Well, one day, He's going to say, really? Okay. He's going to put somebody before you. One day. And you may be by yourself and say, oh, get away from me. Go away. He'll see every bit of it. You're not going to fool God when you least expect it. Someone in need is going to come up. And they won't be saying, smile, you're on Canada camera either. It'll be somebody in need, and that's your test. That's your trial. Entertain strangers unawares, for some might be angels. I've always wondered about that. How many angels do you think you've run across in your lifetime that God put there in a physical body and in need of something? He'll test you. Last night, Daniel, old Danny, Danny boy, Daniel, kind of recap a little bit. The book of Daniel is written about 600 years before Jesus Christ came to this world. King Nebuchadnezzar, I can never say that darn name twice the same way. Can you imagine him at Paris Island as a recruit? Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar wrote chapter 4 of the book of Daniel. And at this period of time, Daniel, or the people in Jerusalem, was disobedient. God sent them trouble and adversity. Babylon came upon Jerusalem and destroyed it. That was predicted by Jesus, by the way, 70 AD. Enslaved the rest, and the Jews were assimilated into the Babylonians' culture, and Daniel was trained to be one of the wise men, or magicians of sort. Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar. I think I'm going to record that and just play it when I have to say it. Nebuchadnezzar, I told you, I can't do it twice. Nebuchadnezzar, gosh, had a dream. He forgot the dream. Asked them about the dream and the interpretation. So not only did the Magi have to give interpretation, but they had to remember, they had to find out what the dream was. Because old Nebuchadnezzar forgot it. So he said, "You're wise men. What was my dream? And now interpret it for me. If you don't, I'm going to kill you." So the wise men are paid to figure out mysteries, so do it. So normally a person would not be able to actually tell what a dream was without some prior knowledge. And that to also interpret it. That's double trouble. Oh, Neb here, he was he was troubled about the dream and wanted to know. So, well, I'm guessing here, God gave him that dream, troubled his heart, convicted his heart to the point that God's going to be glorified in this. So Nebuchadnezzar, he needed to find out through conviction what it meant and what it was, because he forgot it, remember? So when asked, the magicians couldn't do it. We don't know. It's definitely not good to answer wrong. Say you think you know what it is, and that's a really big no-no. So you go to Daniel 12. And since he couldn't answer it, he ordered him killed. Now, he's not playing around. So Daniel's one of them, but was not there at that time. When it came time for Daniel, he asked for time to pray for the dream. Around Daniel 2:19, God gave Daniel the dream and a night vision. He went to the king and to tell him what the dream was. And also, there was a God in heaven that reveals secrets to those who were faithful, who alone could interpret the dream. Now, the dream was, as I talked about last night, he saw a great statue with head of gold and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron and feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. You've heard this before. And the stone was cut out without hands, struck the statue on its feet, and that stone became a great mountain, and that filled the whole earth. That stone was Jesus. This Messiah was the one that cut the stone, struck the statue, and filled the whole earth. Just tell you ahead of time. So Daniel 2, verse 37. With the help of God, Daniel interpreted the dream. And before he does it, Daniel reminded the king Nebuchadnezzar. He reminded him of his great kingdom, his mighty kingdom. And then he says, "You are this head of gold. Babylon." So now, when you go to verse 2, between 37 and verse 38. I'm a little ahead of myself here, really, in a way. But Daniel's reminder of how glorious his kingdom is. And then he says, "You're the head of gold." 2 verse 39. And after the kingdom of Babylon, a second kingdom shall arise. And a third kingdom. A second kingdom of silver and a third kingdom of bronze shall rule the world. Then a fourth kingdom shall shatter them all, but will be divided. Now, family, it's like 2,500 years before. So Daniel 2, going back to 10 and 11, the statue is actually a timeline of each metal that represents a kingdom. Prophecy. Babylon did, in fact, rule the world between 605 B.C. and 539 B.C. And so Babylon was the head of gold. Now, what came later? After that kingdom was the chest and arms of silver. I find it interesting, all of a sudden. When you get some kind of a membership, don't you say, well, you have the gold membership, here's the silver membership, and here's a bronze membership. You got to put, that's what they got here. I just recall that. Who conquered Babylon? It was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire that was led by Cyrus the Great. So Cyrus the Great to the Persian Empire was the silver. And he ruled from 539 B.C., which was, of course, marked the end of the Babylonian Empire, to 331 B.C. It was the chest and arms of Persia. This has a lot to do, family, with the beast that Daniel saw. Now, who conquered Medo-Persia? Well, the great kingdom of Greece, led by none other than the Macedonian Alexander the Great, took up where they left off in 331 B.C., to 168 B.C. So Babylon, from 605 countdown, 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. is Babylon. And Persian Empire, Medo-Persian, from 539 then to 331 B.C. And that ended that one. And 331 B.C., when Alexander took over, to 168 B.C., he ruled, and he is one of the greatest military minds of all time, Alexander the Great. See, here's something else for you to remember. Satan's got an Antichrist every generation. You notice that? Satan has got somebody. You know why? Because he don't know when God's going to let it go. He don't know when God's going to let him have his day. So he's got an Antichrist all build up. This is it. And no, it's not. Okay, here we go. This is it. Cyrus. No, it's not. Here it is. Alexander. Yeah. No, it's not. Hitler. Finally. No, it's not. There's many Antichrists, but there's only one that's the last one. And it's not the Pope. And highly, highly doubtful it's Obama. It's probably someone we'd be surprised and won't really know. Everybody kind of guesses it. They got books out on it. They just won't let it go. Nobody wants to admit they just don't know and wait for him because they're not going to know. Nobody knows. Greek weapons back then in Alexander the Great was made of bronze. Imagine that. And Greece was the belly and thigh of bronze. Who conquered Greece? It wasn't John Travolta. That was a movie. Who conquered Greece? Well, on June the 22nd, on 168 B.C., that day, was at the Battle of Pydna, P-I-G-N-A. The kingdom of Alexander fell, and it was about 144 years from his death under the Iron Monarchy of Rome. Now we're getting warmer. Getting warmer. Boy, they went after the Christians too, didn't they? Rome. Called the Colosseum. There's a lot of blood. Fed the lion. Got it? All the way up to 325 AD and a little bit beyond. Constantine. Verse 40 of Daniel 2, the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron breaks into pieces and shatters everything. Iron can crush gold and silver and bronze. I bet it can crash paper too and scissors. Chuckle, chuckle. You see, Rome was the greatest empire of antiquity and in old times. Rome ruled from 168 BC to 476 AD. When was Constantine formed the Roman Catholic Church? When did Christianity form up? 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea became this religion called Christianity. Not really about Jesus, but to hide Jesus in a very sneaky way. That's the reality of it. We can't kill these Christians off, and kill them off is causing Romans to convert. So we better assimilate the Christians. We'll create a religion for them. Oh man, this is radical, isn't it? After all, the Arabs, descendants of Ishmael, after 325 AD, the Arabs did not accept Roman Catholicism. They didn't kill them. Around the 6th century, the Vatican created the religion of Islam from nothing to encompass and bring in the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael. You see how it works? To control the Jews all the way to 1897, 2,000, give or take, years later, they created Zionism to liquidate Jewish wealth, to ferret out the Jews, the late 1800s. Create a religion. That's what religion is all about. More people don't like hearing that. But I can't help that. That's exactly what happened. Rome was the greatest empire of antiquity. And during that period of time, Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross in 31 AD. Rome ended its rule 476 AD, some 400 years, some later. Now, also in that period of time, 40 years after Jesus was crucified, Jerusalem was destroyed, 70 AD, stone by stone, taken down. You know why they did the stone by stone? To take the gold out of the stones, melt them down. They took every stone that was nothing standing, as predicted by Jesus. Rome was the legs of iron. Now, around 476 AD, who conquered Rome? Well, Daniel 2 verse 41 says that the fourth kingdom shall be divided. Well, Rome was then not conquered from outside. Rome was conquered from within. Rome was conquered from the inside. It's called a fifth column strategy. Strategy. That's one of Satan's ways of taking down a nation, controlling it. You know, and now looking at it from this perspective, kind of throws a different light on it from something else I know about. A quote that kind of matches. I find appropriate right now. Aha. Well, well. At 42 B.C., Cicero, Marcus Tullinus, said, and I quote, "A nation can survive its fools, and even the ambitious, but cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gate is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very hall of government itself. For the traitor appears not to be traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to the victims. He wears their face in their garments, and he appeals to the basis that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly, unknown, in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so it can no longer resist, and a murderer is less to be feared." As a Roman, to Lucius, Cicero, 42 B.C. Ironically enough, that's exactly what happened to Rome. Some 400 years later. Imagine that. Interesting. It's called a fifth column. That's what's happening in the United States today, by the way. Exactly what's happening. "Divided Rome were the feet and toes, partly of iron and partly of clay. So know that the feet had toes, 10 toes. Rome was divided by 10 tribes. The Hainani, German. The Burgundians, Swiss. The Franks, the French. The Lombards, Italiano, Italy. The Saxons, the English, the Suevi, the Portuguese, and the Visigoths, Spanish. Herculi was kind of extinct. They went extinct. Ostrogoths went extinct. And the Vandals, V-A-N-D-A-L-S, went extinct. Was divided. All the barbarian tribes, they formed Europe. Oh, this is important. Or a divided Rome. And these are the feet, partly of iron, partly of clay. The Vatican. Divided Rome. What is the final kingdom of the Antichrist? The revival of the Holy Roman Empire. United Nations. Divided Rome will try to unite one another, but will not be successful, just as iron does not mix with clay. What's been the effort to unite Europe? Unite the religion. The Pope's doing it now. 5 men have tried. And ironically enough, they're all in the bloodline of the Merovingian bloodline. And of Charlemagne. And all of our presidents are in the bloodline of Charlemagne. Charles V of Spain. Louis XIV of France. Napoleon. And Hitler, German. 2,500 years of human history was told to Daniel before it ever happened. That's God talking. And it happened exactly like he told it. How about that? It's declared 600 years before Christ by God to Daniel and a dream. We're living at the time of the end. We're at the feet of the statue for Babylon. Nothing else, and after the feet, except for the stone cut out by hands, will strike the feet. Will fill the whole earth and become the kingdom of God. In Daniel 2, 44 to verse 45, God will set up his own kingdom. So you have 2,500 years of human history declared 600 years before the time of Christ. Wow! How about that? No human can predict all that. Man, that's all God. Every bit of it. That's fascinating how that works. Caesars were there to kill the Christians in the Colosseums for sport. Who was before the Caesars? The Pharaohs. Pharaohs of Egypt. You know my mommy? The mummy? The, you know. I call them the eggheads. Family, the Pharaohs of the bloodline of Charlemagne. The Pharaohs skip jump over to Europe. The Caesars took over. The Pharaohs went to Europe. They became the Illuminati. They became the Illuminati. The Pharaohs were hybrids of the fallen angels and the daughters of man after the flood. Y'all connecting the dots here? A special bloodline. In other words, Queen Elizabeth II can trace her bloodline back to the pharaohs of Egypt. Now, you know where cloning comes from and why they very professionally, you might say, mummified the mummies. Because they figured by cloning that they couldn't do then. The technology would be developed when mankind got smart enough that they could clone the same body and the entities could take that body again. Ho ho. I'm going to stop there on that part. I digress. That's a bigger picture. I probably don't want to confuse you all, but that's... And oh, by the way, I will tell you, in 1985, they did clone a pharaoh. That should raise your eyebrow. I found a report on it. They cloned a pharaoh in 1985. Kind of makes you wonder who that is, don't you? If it did one, you know they did a whole bunch of others. So this is not theory. It happened. Daniel's whole life from that time of his captivity was spent in a great and glamorous city of Babylon that time when he was there, going backwards. Kind of the ancient Hollywood. Spent 69 years in a vile court, and he lived a life without blame and well-favored. And Ezekiel, even, refers to him as a model of righteousness in Ezekiel 14, verses 14 to 20. And verses 14, Ezekiel 14, excuse me, Ezekiel 28, verse 3. And Daniel was a captive, but he rose to prime minister to Babylon. And he always remained true to Jehovah God, not Yahweh. Yahweh is not God in the Bible. That's another story. I won't go there. I'll get off track. So the book of Daniel is a book of devotions. surrendered life, Daniel 1. The light among the darkness, Daniel 2. Daniel 3 is a triumph through trial, and the 4 and Daniel 5 is a reward of service. Daniel 6 is prayer and confidence in God, and Daniel 9 is confession of sin. And Daniel 12, the wisdom of soul winning. Besides of Elijah and Enoch, Daniel was among the great on this earth. Ezekiel was nearest to him in his own day, Ezekiel was, and knowing him best ranks him as one of the world's triumvirate, the greatest, one of the greatest of virtue, like Noah, Daniel, and Job. Through Ezekiel 14, verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Daniel's among the three, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Daniel was also great in heaven. God broke the silence of skies twice over the city to cry out, O Daniel, a man of greatly loved, O man greatly beloved. Daniel 10, 11 and verse 19. You know that there's no position, no matter, no matter how difficult, and found him without trusting God. We have fear, we lose faith. We worry, we lose faith. I'm starting to read now about preachers that's been without God now turning atheist. My guess is they always were. They're trying to do the falling away. Stay strong in the Lord. God is able in all temptations to keep us from falling. Jude 24. Unless we've deliberately placed ourselves with Peter at the fire of the enemy. And God honored Daniel in his prayers because he is righteous to God. God even sent a special embassy of angels from the throne. You remember? With the words, I am come for thy words. Daniel 10:12. So, it shows how God exhibited his power in a remarkable way in Daniel's life. And Daniel never introduced himself or his own actions except when he illustrated that power. Daniel is a complicated book, to say the least. But one of prophecy. So, I have told you about the dream of world empires. That's pretty consistent in most commentaries I've found. And then you have Daniel's historical summary. Well, I explained that as well, what each one of those represented. And then the kingdom of Christ was what? The stone cut out without hands. You see the kingdom of Christ, and kingdom shall never be destroyed, bringing up to an end to all of the kingdoms. And Jesus, after Armageddon, will come up and set up a kingdom which will last forever. And very importantly, that will end then, not now. That will end then. the time of the Gentiles. They're trying to make it look like it's now, but it's not. That's what this Hebrew Roots movement is all about. When you want to take Scripture and talk about the stone, you will read it in Psalms 118, verse 22. Isaiah 8, verse 14. And 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. And Zechariah 3, and verse 9. That's Psalms 118, verse 22, Isaiah 8, verse 14, and Isaiah 28, verse 16, and Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 9, talks about the stone. Now, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed this dream. The Persian kingdom did not exist at that time. It was a Babylonian location. You know, it would almost seem impossible that a strong Grecian empire would rise. Never believe it. Because at that point, only wandering tribes inhabited the Hellenic states, and the city of Rome was only a little town on the banks of the Tiber. That's all it was. Yet God told Daniel what would come and what would pass. So it didn't make common sense at all. But Daniel didn't question it. He wrote it down. He gave the prophecy out. And you know, the metals, you'll notice, deteriorate in value. Gold, silver, brass, and iron. So that reveals the weakening in the power of each succeeding empire. And you know, you'll find the condition of iron mixed with brittle clay. What that does, it suggests kind of attempted unions between a democratic and imperialistic form of government. Kind of like the forms of government that exist today. Do they resemble the rows of clay, brittle but not holding together, that fall apart? Well, for many, it kind of begs the question, when will this stone fall? We know not the day nor the hour, but everybody seems to think they do, but nobody does. We know not the day or the hour, but the King is coming with power, great glory, with all his holy angels to establish his kingdom. Family, it won't be in some silly UFO or extraterrestrial. You know, the great king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he fell on his face and he worshipped Daniel. He declared his God was the God of all gods. But you also find as you go along in this story that this revelation of God had little effect really upon Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't really bring him to his knees before God. It was a flash in the pan. Around Daniel 3, up pops the fiery furnace in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image in the plain of Dura. He commanded all the peoples to fall down and worship it, right? Anybody refused, he would be cast to a fiery furnace. Sound familiar? Yeah, Antichrist is going to do this. But there's three of those that refused to obey the king. After 20 years, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the spies reported their disobedience. You know that three, they knew God's rules, laws. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5. Family is coming again. But these were fearless in the presence of the Eastern despot. So, the story of this furnace is very familiar. You've read about it in your Bible studies. And what's the greatest thing about this scene of the three? What was it Nebuchadnezzar said when he saw and looked in the furnace? One, there is four. One like the Son of God. How do you know? Jesus wasn't even born yet. Yeah, the Son of God was with him. Had quite an effect on Nebuchadnezzar. He had great admiration for the miraculous power of the God of these men. But still, he did not bow to worship God in humility. He called Jehovah their God. But remember something. God wants us to say, my Lord and my God. It's what Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Christ said, when you pray, say our Father. Now, what this does, it demonstrates in a very dramatic way. And this is right in front of, right before the dignitaries of this very far-flung empire. And the power of the Most High God. As it will do in the future, our future now. But they did back then as well. Erected an image that will be repeated by the beast, the Antichrist, and the last head of the Gentile world dominion. It's kind of where Daniel intermeshes with Revelation. In Revelation 13, verses 11 to 15, and Revelation 19, verse 20. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Yep. See, revival of the whole Roman Empire here. And caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Revival of the empire. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Harp. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast would both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast should be killed. Family is coming. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, had received the mark of the beast. That's very significant. And them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. All that's yet to happen. Now, I'm going to mark it here, and we're going to go into Daniel 4. I'm laying the groundwork, and we're going to talk tomorrow about the king dreams again. He had another dream in Daniel 4. And we'll talk about that tomorrow night. And then, tomorrow night, we'll also get into, I can see, Daniel's vision of the four beasts, the four kingdoms pictured in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Daniel 7, and what they stand for. And probably by Friday, I'm anticipating Daniel's 70th week. And that's a hot one, because that is talking about the tribulations that Revelation talks about in detail, but Daniel talks about in his dream, the 70th week of Daniel. It's the final 7 years of tribulation. That's what that is. That's pretty significant. Family, remind you all that, it's 9 o'clock already. Yeah, what happened? We are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And John Kirkler is playing my broadcast and Bible studies. He has sponsors up there. And I understand it's going really well. In those three states, he wants to put up some more towers. His sponsors are listed on his website. So go on up there if you're from New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Find out his sponsors. Use them or, get in touch with John Kirkler and give him a hand. Listen to my broadcast on there and see how it's playing. I don't ask for anything in this broadcast. I don't sell books, CDs. I don't sell gold, silver. I don't sell freeze-dried food or cat food, dog food. I don't sell water filters. I have nothing. Zero. All I want to do is preach the Word of God. I do it, and I'm done. That's it. That's all I care. This is for me is every day. And I'm not on the air, I'm researching. That's just how it's worked out. I don't see that stopping either. Unless God pulls me off and has me do something else, I don't know. Right now, I ended up with a network, and of course some of y'all know me really well that have been with me a long time. You know how I got that network. From an attempt to try to take me down, end up keeping the equipment. Can you imagine? How about that? That's a long story. But that's how God works. End up with equipment. I mean, I got a mixer boards, all kinds of stuff here. I didn't know how to use this stuff. I thought if I touched it, it was going to take off. Launched me in space or something. I finally learned how to use it, but anyway, my expertise is anti-terrorism, military operations, and not broadcasting, and mixing boards for sure. But one never knows. Okay, so tomorrow, 4 to 6, we're going to talk about how they're going to disarm us and some other things I want to talk about. Tomorrow, news and what really is going on. And then tomorrow night, we'll get into Daniel again and see how far we go. And I figure by Friday, we'll get the 70th week of Daniel. That's the heavy one. Because that is the last 7 years of tribulation, judgment on the earth, 70th week of Daniel. They like to think 70 A.D. was the end of it, but it wasn't. That's your Calvinist and Preterist and Christian Identity and all these other folks. Carl Gallup and P.P. Simmons that were already in the sixth trumpet or something, whatever. Oh, brother. They can't make up their mind. All right, family, let's let y'all go. Lord, thank you tonight. For this Bible study. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together. Lord, I call upon you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit out to touch all those, Father, that hear their prayers. Protect them with the blood of Jesus. guide them in studies. Listen to their prayers for others. Give them what they need. Father, we pray for that help. Father, as we do thy word and carry out thy will, Father, we pray for insight, wisdom, discernment for these end times to keep us humble. Father, that you may use us in your service when that time does come. Father, we see these times are coming and coming fast. Father, we put our faith in you. And these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You notice, some of y'all may already know this, but you notice I don't play Dolly Parton anymore. I can't. She's turned also, supporting the homosexual drive. They seem to be turning, and I couldn't play her anymore. Yeah, that's why I couldn't do it. I got to stay true to it, to the truth. And so that's why I quit playing Dolly. Actually, the one I play is the one that wrote the song. He's alive, by the way. Don Francisco. Family, y'all have a good night now. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6. And then tomorrow night, Daniels, and move right along. Thank you all for coming by, and God bless y'all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.